We're holding on page 62. So we spoke about an interesting idea about building, the rules for building. Peleoitz isn't just purely about, you know, the technical halachic aspects. It's about the whole gamut. It's the whole, you know, schema of how you relate to your day-to-day life. Specifically, business is a big part of it. So we spoke about the idea before how if the home was built by someone who's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, then the hashpa of that building goes into the building itself, goes into the material. It's not a pure building on the highest level. We want to be able to live in a pure environment. He says also this is a very, very problematic issue where people oftentimes will use goyim to build the house over Shabbos. Right? Oh, Mil Nachri, you tell them, listen, just build a building in 6 months, however you do it. Again, there are halachically, quote unquote, allowed ways to do it. But he's talking from the higher level of the spiritual entity of the building itself, that what seeps into it, that we have to be very careful about. I can't hear. I can't understand what you're saying. What are you saying? You should not have them work on Shabbos. Meaning, although technically you could set up a situation where you're saying, right, this is the difference between having, let's say, like a live-in maid versus having a housekeeper come in, like that literally just comes in every so often. You can set it up a situation where, like, listen, I have dishes that need to get done. I have particular work that needs to get done. However you decide you want to portion your time, that's up to you. If they happen to come on Shabbos to wash the dishes, to clean the house, you know, then maybe up halacha, you're allowed to rely on such an opinion. But I'm sorry, you had a question. What was your question? Is there a way to do it? There is a way to do it. Should you do it? Should you not do it? Says the Peleoitz, you should not do it. Someone who builds their home without true justice, without true tzedek. What does that mean? Is it you're not following the really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? You're not allowed to enter into such a home that was built on Shabbos, that was built on Yom Tov. If you have the ability to stop this and to really stand up, you really should not, you should speak out against this idea. So for sure, all the more so, when you're building your building, this is like, you know, I always say, you know, it's amazing to have money, right? What's the best, right? You could be a millionaire. But you know what real godless is when somebody has so much money, they can build a kollel in their house. There's a very wealthy person. There's a billionaire in America in the Hamptons. He has a huge mansion, and in one sector of his mansion, he actually has a full-time kollel that learns there. To me, that's, as the kids say today, it's called baller money. You know, they have yacht money. Someone is so rich they can have a yacht, so rich they can have like a jet. The real highest level is, do you have kollel money? Now again, we're not talking like, you know, people got upset because a while back, Mishpacha Magazine had an advertisement saying, your friend owns a yacht, your friend owns a jet, but you have a kollel. And like, you know, and it bothered me, and it still bothers me, but I think it's still true at the end of the day, which is that someone who has that amount of money, to reset their values, they have the money and they should be able to enjoy it. And Adrab, the Torah is very, very into the idea that someone who has earned their keep and done it in a proper way and is able to give to other people, the highest form is to give it at tzedakah. Build as many buildings. You want your name on every single building? Adrab, go for it. Go for it. Is there a higher level? Not to Seder, but you know what? It encourages other people to do it, right? It encourages other people to give. It's a beautiful thing. Adrab, put your name on everything, brand everything. What does it matter? More Torah, the better. That's what we want. We want the more Torah, the better. You know, Mirza Hashem, if, you know, we call Nefesh HaChaim, we build a building, yeah? It'll be the Jimmy Kesri. Jimmy Kesri is called Torah's Chaim. Oh, in the meantime, we're going to have to take Chanicha Yeshivas. Okay. But what's the idea? The idea is that you're using your money, which Baruch Hashem has given you for a good reason. And I don't know, again, how much we appreciate when somebody has reached a status of finance, which is if somebody, God forbid, loses that money, you're still required to provide for them to the same degree that person had prior to them losing their money. That's halacha. The halacha is taking into account a stated fact, which is we have to respect. It's a very goyish thing. It's a Marxist idea. I know Marx was a Jew, but it was a goyish thing. You know? It's a goyish thing to look down and to look at a person who's wealthy as like, ugh, degraded. Adrab, it's a milah. As long as you're doing it, l'dvarim tovim. So he says like this, when you're building your house, when I get to the point of Peleoitz, when you're building your house, build within it an area where you can have his vaydus. You can have a vaydus Hashem. Either it's a koil or it's a, what do they call it, a base moser. You know, the very famous Wazotsky tea. You know, the Wazotsky tea that we have today, right? Baruch Hashem, he was a Talmud of Reb Sol Salanter. The original Reb Zev Wozotsky was a Talmud of Reb Sol Salanter, very wealthy, supported like all of the institutions. The reason why we have the Musar movement that we have yeshivas today was literally because of Wozotsky T. Mamish, and today, I think the person who owns it is not, I think it's a great-great-grandson. He's not Wozotsky anymore, but he comes from that family, Lithuanian family, Talmud Chacham. He's also a big Zionist, whatever the difference is, two separate points. No, you can't tie enough ties in him. But he literally built within his house a beautiful base Musar that he was able to go sit and learn and to have his point of this. Another very famous, wealthy person, there was the Travis family from Texas. Their son-in-law was a very famous rabbi called Reb Dov Revel. You know who Dov Revel was? Dov Revel was the first chancellor, yeshiva president of later what became known as Yeshiva University, but at the time was Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hanan. And they lived in, I believe they lived somewhere, no, I'm sorry, they lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, not Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in their sprawling mansion, because why? They hit it big with oil. Oh, they became, that's why I thought Texas. They're huge oil magnates, and the son-in-law was this Dov Revel, who later became, like I said, was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, was going oil. And in their house, in the sprawling mansion, they had a shul and a koil. Again, this is talking about the early 1920s, you know? Again, there's a very famous also, I'm going a little bit, there's like a center here, it's called the Harry Fishel, what's his name? Yeah, Harry Fishel, his name was.
I knew Harry Fishel very well.
Yeah? Ooh, I don't see his name on the building. So Harry Fishel, very famously, he actually built in his beautiful Hampton Man. Upper West Side. What's next to the park? The Central Park over there. Central Park. What's like the famous area over there? Like the Billionaire Row, or it's called, Central, I think, park. Millionaire Row, something like that. Yeah, one of these fancy places. He built a sukkah porch. It was actually quite famous. His house. He's from Jew, obviously, right? His son-in-law was Warren Goldberg, I believe. Maybe mixing up two different names. Or Goldberg, who was also, he was known as the Maverick Rabbi. There's interesting books about him. But the point is, this Harry Fishel, he built himself a sukkah that was unheard of. It was completely unheard of in that period of time. Who kept sukkahs? Who kept sukkahs?
There's a lot of buildings in the States. A lot of buildings. We have many from offices. They devote one office for like base medrash.
So there's a. I was in Los Angeles and I went to this real estate office. It also had like a law office. It was again a bunch of front people. And upstairs it had a koil. The imam had a koil. It's sitting and learning. It's a valid thing. This is if Mirsa Hashem, everyone here should be wealthy beyond belief. If the learning doesn't work out, I'm saying the learning should work out. Mirsa Hashem, the learning should work out. Only a few rare people, you know, but nagi that the learning chas v'shalom doesn't work out, and you go into business and you make it, don't forget to call teres chaim. It's a very special thing, but you should always have your priorities right. What is the ikar? So says the Pelias, just ended off with this, which is that b'yivne lebayis for hachlas orchim for makom hisboidedos v'zor laniach mezuzah k'sher b'chol psach. Of course, maybe make sure you have kosher mezuzahs. Oysel bevada shchina shir b'nei beisa. If you do these things, your home will be a really, really holy place. But Hashem your place will be somewhere where you'll be protective. If you have the means, build it for yourself. Build it from scratch. But when you sell it, it does minimize your market. You know, they talk about how you don't, when you're building your house, you want to make it as generic as possible, so you can sell it off to someone else. If you start like, you know, building, this is my little hisboides area, and this is where I do Kabbalah, and this is where I do Musar. It may not sell for a guy, but that's okay. You'll sell it to a Jew. All right, Hatzlach.